Welcome into another edition of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. And joining us now, our good friend Eric Snodgrass with Nutrien on to talk weather as we start the month of December. Eric, it's great to have you back on, sir. Busy traveling, as always, talking to us from the airport today, but we appreciate you making the time, sir.
Yeah, no problem. I'm here in Great Falls, Montana, and it's crazy. We're deep into the 60s right now, and there's not, I can't see any snow. I'm kind of looking out here over the bluffs, and it's one of those just kind of crazy things where the winds come out of the west, heat things up, and all of a sudden we've got to, 30 to 40 degrees above normal temperatures. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, very, very crazy. And, we think about these above normal temperatures to start the month of December. And let's start our conversation there. Not something I think a lot of folks expected. I know the jet stream's kind of up through Canada to start the month. What's your thoughts with the above normal temperatures and the lack of precipitation that we're seeing for the most part across the country here to start December?
Yeah, November was pretty dry for a lot of us. And then December starting off the same way. And you're right, Jetstream is targeting, British Columbia and then running across the Canadian Prairie. So all the action is going to be there until we can get that thing to dip a little bit farther to the south, which it will do. It's just going to take a few more days. So we've got quite a bit of warm weather and dry weather in place until we get through this weekend when those systems start to get a little bit farther to the south and kind of start deliver some snow to the Midwest and some wetter conditions even over parts of the south. I mean, the Cotton Belt, I was just doing an update for them this morning. From Texas to North Carolina, I'm very, very dry through that area. And California would love nothing more than to get that jet stream farther south as well to start returning some better moisture there. So, yeah, it's over 200 miles an hour right now, 6 miles above our heads in Canada. And it seems to want to hang out there for a little while longer, giving us this mild and dry start to December.
Eric, as well, thinking about dry and mild La Nina, that pattern is, we've been talking about that and really been watching South America. And I know a lot of folks are really starting to key in on that South American crop. It's that time of year. What are you finding with the La Nina pattern and how that's affecting things in South America right now?
Well, if you looked at a picture of the next 10 days of precipitation across South America, it's like textbook La Nina pattern. In other words, it's wet north and it's wet east, but we're dry in some big producing states like Mato Grosso do Sul, a little bit drier than normal, but Paraná down to Rio Grande do Sul, Paraguay, Uruguay, and much of Argentina's growing areas over the next 10 days are going to be quite dry compared to average. And the big questions that we all ask is if this La Nina is kind of reaching its peak right now, and which it would normally do here at the, in December and early January, are we going to get that kind of residual effect for the next probably, 40 to 60 days where we keep favoring those drier conditions south? Because if it does, it could really turn around what was a pretty quick start to their season with planting and maybe shift things back over to having greater risk of yield loss due to some rough weather. The only thing about it is it's not yet hot and dry, it's just dry. So we've not yet seen the heat pour on, but we're still working toward their summer solstice, which is our winter solstice. So there's still quite a bit of time for those higher temperatures to come in. But I'll be watching Argentina through southern Brazil closely because history would tell us that would be the area that would suffer the most when there is a La Nina. And this La Nina, I'll tell you something, it's punching above its weight class because earlier in the year, we didn't think it could be quite this strong.
And with La Nina as well, are we worried about that affecting anything here in the U.S. as we move into, work through December, move into 2022? What are you seeing there?
Well, I here in Montana and talking the other day in the Northern Plains and even this morning gave a talk to a group in Canada, that part of the country, that part of North America is happy because normally La Ninas bring in decent cold and they bring in good snows, which is what we didn't get last year in the Northern Plains. So we're looking good there. Midwest is probably going to look good on moisture as well. The concern is going to be from California to Texas and over into the Southeast. We've already seen drought expansion in the Southern Plains. The next couple systems that come through target more of the lower Mississippi River Valley, not Texas. So what I don't want to see is all winter long, Texas, maybe a bit more mild than normal and drier than normal, they could go into the next year, dry. I'm going to say this to you and people are going to hear it, but that's okay. Last time we saw something similar to this is kind of what happened in that winter of 2011 to 12. We had drought developing down south. And we had a La Nina that faded in spring. So there's a lot of us, you just don't toss around the year 2012, lightly. So I'm aware of that. But there's some things about seeing this La Nina transition, especially with the cold water in the Gulf of Alaska, that just, it's got my ears perked up. I'm going to say, I'm going to watch this until it gives me a signal otherwise, because, you know, normally farmers in the Midwest, you say El Nino, we're happy, but you got an El Nino going by next summer, but it's still cold in the Gulf of Alaska. That's not the right combination. So we all need to watch this every single week just to see how it transitions.
I know as well on the global front, watching Russian wheat, Australian wheat, they've had a lot of rains in Eastern Australia. Mm-hmm. But what are you seeing as far as those countries and the wheat crop? And that's, you know, of course, wheat, a big leader here recently in the grain markets. And you know, we're watching the tightening supplies of global quality milling wheat, of course. So Russia, Australia is going to play into that. What are you seeing with their wheat crops right now?
Yeah, you know, you had all growing season long in Australia, a bunch of very happy Australian wheat farmers because they were getting the moisture. But then when it got into November, it didn't shut off. So, you know, the harvesting of the crop was a bit difficult. And as a result of that, a very wet November kind of peeled back what could have been just a finish to a great, you know, great crop. So they're not going to complain because it's moisture. And they know that, you know, La Nina's provide that, and that La Nina's end. So, there was a little bit of a pullback there. And, you know, throughout much of the Russian wheat belt into eastern Ukraine, there are just pockets where things have been drier this fall, but no major extreme cold just yet. The cold is really set up in much of central and western Europe. And that's also a big part of this picture, right? Because that's a big population center that relies on natural gas for heating, and they've had higher demand. And so this is going to be something we'll, I think, continue to talk about for a while. Where are those big population centers in the Northern Hemisphere that could see increased heating demand this year on an already tight supply for natural gas? So you're right, that global perspective is going to be key in watching for the market movement over the next several weeks.
Eric, great stuff as always. Any final thoughts you have for us just as we wrap up? I know you're busy, got to catch a flight. So any other final bullet points you have for us here today?
You know, I would tell people, get out and enjoy the warm weather if you've got it right now, because I've been watching and the stuff that's kind of locked up in Alaska, the really cold in Alaska, northern Canada, that comes out. It just doesn't stay there all winter. And at some point it will, and we'll be coming back. It's like, do you remember December 2nd and December 1st when it was so warm? You know, and I'll say this too, I really do hope these winds calm down here in the northern plains. And in Great Falls, where I am right now, they had just horrific fires running through towns fed on 70-mile-an-hour winds. And it's a tragedy to say the least. And so we're watching it carefully.
Well, we appreciate the time. I know your daily weather newsletter goes out. People could sign up for that email list on our website, markettalkag.com as well. Eric, appreciate the time. Safe travels, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Sounds good. Thanks.
This has been American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen, wishing you a great rest of your day.